Can you hear the music? Can you hear the music? We have heard this gospel parable a bazillion times. And yet something happens in the middle of this at the party when the music's heard. And it really tells a lot about what happened before and what after. It's a pivotal point, I think. We take just a moment to kind of unpack these three guys in this reading today. The first one is the younger son. So when the younger son went to his father and said, you know, give me my share of the estate that's coming to me, it was as if he was saying, I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead. So it was unheard of, at least in those days, to do this. And so the father acquiesced and gave him his share. And he took off. And the scriptures are even more detailed. Said he went to a distant country. Okay, why is that important? Because he left his own people. He left his own people and went far away. And it said a life of dissipation. So if you know what that means, let me know. Because dissipation actually sounds kind of like fun. But I think what we have to take a look at is let's not read too much into the text. Because it said that, of course, there's a famine. And it's not that he just had a change of heart. He was up against the wall. He didn't have anything and he was starving. And so he thought, well, heck, even the guys who work for Dad get taken care of. I'm just going to go back and say, don't call me your son. He was kind of covering himself. He really didn't care about the dad. He was taking care of himself. And let's talk about the older son. A lot of times the older son is looked upon as, in fact, many times we might identify with him. But here's a guy who doesn't have a heart for his father either. So he is that dutiful, self-righteous, by God, I earned this kind of person who really got angry. So he comes back to the house and hears the music and gets furious. And there's a couple of things that I think help to unpack this son's situation. First of all, in that culture, if the younger brother said, hey, give me all my money that's coming to me, the eldest son should have stepped in and said, wait a minute, you're out of line. He should have protected his father. He didn't. He didn't care. Secondly, even if his brother was a jerk, if there was an event like that and the younger brother came back, he should have been at the door greeting people. That was the cultural thing to do. But he wouldn't even enter the house. And so his dad came out and pleaded with him, and you heard, he just exploded. He said, look, all these years I served you, and I never once disobeyed your orders. But then the line that I find interesting is, but when your son returns or swallowed up your property with prostitutes, how did he know that? He never even talked to his brother yet. Do you think he was kind of wishful thinking for himself? Told a lot more about him than anything else. Then we got the dad. And obviously this scripture is supposed to get us to make the association with the Father and with God. And some things, again, cultural, that are really important to think about. First of all is this. Do you notice that it said, when he was still a long way off, he saw him? Now, what does that mean? Well, one of the things it means is that the father didn't say, well, good riddance to him. He made his bed, he can lie in it. No, he was looking for him. He was looking out the windows. He was probably crying and saying his prayers, I wish to God that kid had come home. And when he saw him a long way off, he ran to him. That was an undignified thing for a person in authority to do. You never do that. He ran to him. Now, because he'd been gone, the prominent family, everybody knew about this guy. And so when they see him running out, embracing son, that was a pretty public thing, a pretty restorative kind of an action. And so the son gave him his line, you know, I no longer deserve to be called your son, and blah, blah, blah. Father didn't even respond to that. What happened? He said, quickly, being the finest robe, ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Those are very significant things. First one, the robe. The finest robe was always reserved for the father in the house. The best clothes were ever, the finest robe was always reserved for that person. He said, go get it and put it on my son. Secondly, the ring on his finger, it's not just bling, huh? The ring was a sign of authority. Put the ring on his finger. And then the third one, the sandals on his feet. If you're a slave, if you're a servant, you don't have shoes. So it was a very clear message that he was not going to be restored as a workman. Furthermore, if you have shoes, if you got sandals, you're free to leave again. So the father did this. And I presume, or at least give to you to think about this morning this. I think the music had a very different effect on each of the brothers. I think that for the first son who was out and was really a selfish, disrespectful jerk, when he came back and his dad did all this stuff and here's the music, I am positive he was ashamed. Just ashamed. That's when I think the conversion of heart happened. And the other son heard the same music, and I'll bet that was pretty bittersweet. He was not angry. Understand, he wasn't angry at his brother for what he did. He was mad at his dad. How could you treat him like that when I have kept all the rules? Now, we have a little of each of those sons in us. There's a side of us that wants to do what we want to do. We're selfish. By God, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Okay? There's a little bit of that in all of us. But there's also a little bit of that other dutiful brother in us too. We don't like it. We can't even fathom the concept that God shows no favorites. That God treats everybody equally. If they're sorry, everybody is treated equally. We don't like that. We like to reserve judgments about things. And by golly, those people get what they deserve. And here's this guy who said, well, I did all this stuff for you. Never did I once disobey your orders. You never even gave me a young goat to feast on. The dad says, hey, you're always here. Everything I have is yours. He was the most ungrateful person you could meet. So I want to go back to my original question. Can you hear the music? Because the music is God's over-the-top, absolutely unearned, absolutely unmerited forgiveness and love. You and I don't operate that way. God's the only person, of course he's God, who can forgive and forget. We don't do that very easily. We have conditions on things. We cross our fingers and put them behind our backs sometimes. God doesn't do that. And so that music is that forgiveness that God gives us. And that is playing all the time, but sometimes we can't hear it. And sometimes when we do hear it, it makes us ashamed. And sometimes when we hear it, it makes us really angry because we just can't see how God can treat other people that way. So I sure can't think that God's going to treat me that way. So, maybe we need to think about that music in our lives. Maybe we need to think about the fact that God the Father is always playing that tune in our hearts. We don't always hear it. Over the top, unmerited, unearned, absolutely free. Can you hear the music? If not, maybe you need to rethink your idea of who God is.